Marketers, are you ready to make an impact with audio advertising? People are hungry for authentic connections in a world buzzing all around us. How do you cut through the noise and truly reach your audience? Visit stateofaudio.com to see Odyssey State of Audio, the Trends Report. Uncover the secrets to high-impact creative. Learn how AI is revolutionizing the industry. And get ahead of the curve on measurement and audience trends. Don't just stay in the game. Win it. Visit stateofaudio.com and download your free copy.
We're joined on site right now at Radio Row by Jake Glazer. You watch him on Fox Sports. How are you? Thanks for stopping through.
Absolutely, man. How you doing?
Good. Appreciate you spending a few minutes. Danny's back in our D.C. studio here.
What up, man?
We were just talking about the fact. So last night at the media party, some lady who's from around here brought like a van of creatures, and I held—
What do you mean van of creatures? Like things like me or like animals?
Well, no, like animals.
Okay.
And I held a big-ass alligator.
Okay.
That was very sedated.
Why'd you do that?
Oh, well, that's the question.
Exactly.
But when she handed it to me, she's like, if he starts like going towards your head, just don't panic.
Yeah. See, here's what I don't agree with you doing this, okay? Because what's to say that alligator is a model citizen? You don't know. Maybe this alligator's, you know, had a bad day. Maybe he got in a fight with his wife. I wouldn't be holding something that. No, absolutely not.
What about the
Sure, not all alligators are model citizens.
That's very true.
Okay.
What about the snake around the neck bit?
Hell no.
Okay.
I'm not doing that either.
I mean, you fight giant humans. You're like
But I could talk to them. I can't tell this boa constrictor. Hey, I'm tapping out. I can't do that.
There's no tapping, Jay. There's no tapping animal.
Absolutely. No. Listen, if there's a 1% chance of error, why am I taking that 1% chance? No one's questioning my manhood. I don't need to wrestle with any alligators or snakes. I do enough with these freaking monsters that I wrestle. Yeah.
You were fighting in the cage. Jake Glazer's with us on Grant and Danny
Live. I'll take Lane Johnson and Randy Couture every day over a snake and an alligator. No problem.
One of the big newsbreakers in the National Football League. How about the cast that's been put together in D.C.? Mm-hmm. New ownership with Josh Harris taking the team over from Dan Snyder. First-year GM this year, Adam Peters, hit one home run after another. Mm-hmm. Dan Quinn with his second opportunity so far, making very good on that chance. And they got the quarterback solved for the first time in 30 years. How about what they've put together at all four of those pillars?
First of all, let's start with the owner, right? Everything starts with culture. And I go and I talk now with even like groups of entrepreneurs. I always talk about cultures in the NFL. And when cultures, when they don't work over and over and over, a lot of times these owners don't look at it inside themselves. Obviously, Dan Snyder was a problem with culture. The Jets, Woody Johnson, it's a problem with that, right? Like, in Cleveland, you have that also. The first time they won in Cleveland under Jimmy Haslam was the year that no one except football was allowed in the building in COVID, right? And it's hard to tell a billionaire that they're the issue, but I also saw it firsthand with Sean Payton and Mickey Loomis down here in New Orleans. They taught Mr. Benson how to be an owner, and he just didn't know any better. Right? But a lot of these, I've told owners straight out. I've had really stark conversations with some of these owners of, hey, man, would you trust Andy Reid or Sean McVay or Bill Belichick to run your business? Like, no, Jay, it's totally different. I said, then why do you think you could make a second-round pick? Right? And it's hard to tell a billionaire that sometimes. But they let people in their other business do their job because it's not as much glory and the ego's not, you know, it's not the same ego, right? So here to have a guy like Josh who just comes in, he's like, I'm hiring the right people and you guys do it. It's the right thing. And you're right, like Adam Peters. I mean, he's learning with John Lynch. Are you kidding me? It's fantastic. And he's a relationship builder. Dan Quinn, somebody asked me here today, what was my favorite hire of this coaching cycle? I said, I don't have one of this one, but I had one last time. And Dan Quinn, who all Dan does is build cultures and win, by the way. But like, I think guys like a Dan Quinn, a Dan Campbell, these guys work better now than ever before because in the past you could beat up on players. You know, you can get after them, you rip the hell out of them, do the Belichick thing. But nowadays, when these guys are getting beat up 1,000 times a second on Twitter and on Instagram and Facebook and this and that, you can't do that to these guys anymore. You know, there needs to be, and I talk about mental health. You kind of look at it differently and how to help these guys navigate a scarier world than ever. No one does that better in this league than Dan Quinn.
Jay, how's this offseason going to go for Washington? So normally first year of a build, you know, you improve slightly, maybe you change the culture, getting rid of some of the old guys that were part of the previous regime, et cetera. Well, they did that, and then they won 12 games and got the NFC title game. Like, do you think that kind of changes the eye line for this group this offseason?
I think you'll have free agents go, man, I want to go play with them. I want to go in with – and here's the thing with Jaden Daniels. I remember talking to them early in the process. And I think it was right after the combine even. DQ and Peter's like, no, Jaden, this is the guy. And the reason why, they said every single person you talk to has been around him. All they do is talk about how hard he works. And the blueprint for greatness is all the hours you put in when no one's watching. And look, I've trained hundreds and hundreds of pro athletes in mixed martial arts program that I created in 2007, with our first guy being a long snapper from the Chiefs and a part-time D-end named Jared Allen. You know, when I ripped off 15 sacks after we did this whole fight mentality and really opened up his hips and got his hands more violent. And over time, again, we've started to see a change where guys, being famous ain't the same as being great. And everyone's famous now. The only way you used to get endorsements to make Pro Bowls, you had to be great, right? And now everybody's famous because it's social media, and it's not the same work ethic. So when you have a guy like Jaden Daniels that you hear all he does is work, you're going to build for a long time with that guy.
I'm fascinated to get your perspective on something. Jay Glazer's with us. You see him on Fox Sports. He's one of the great reporters breaking down everything going on in the NFL. The Liam Coen 24 hours as a reporter, you know, he's not going to Jacksonville. He's coming back to Tampa. Now he's going back to Jacksonville. The teams don't even know what's going on. The reporter can't possibly know what's going
on. The head coach knew. According to Liam, the head coach knew what was going on.
What do you make of how all that went down?
So there's other parts when he said his I don't know if I want to put his business out here because he said his kid was sick. And there was certain things.
Yeah.
So I don't want to put – that's a personal thing with him. It wasn't an excuse of his dog ate his homework. No.
But I just mean the whole process. Like,
yeah.
It's messy because I think these things aren't always linear and clean. But, man, it's a tough look from the outside.
But look what happened with you guys last year. They're supposed to be with Ben Johnson.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Then Dunnett pulls it. And you guys should be thanking God that that happened, because then all of a sudden there's Dan Quinn. I remember Adam Peters being at the Senior Bowl, and me and John Lynch calling him, dude, screw the scouting players, man. Go hire Dan Quinn. Go over there. He's there. Like, and sometimes, you know, the things that don't happen, a lot of things aren't just clean. You know, there's a lot of back channel stuff. But I even talked to the GM of the Bucks when he said, hey, we're going to kind of tell Liam, we're going to make him the highest paid offensive coordinator in the NFL, but he has to pull his name out of that. I said, don't do that, dude. That's like on Shark Tank when somebody gives you this offer and they go, well, you got to take it now. You can't listen to the other sharks. Like, don't do that, man. Just either, like, he stays. I said, even if you give him and you give him a bump for this year, he's going to be a head coach next year, right? So you're not going to get stuck with this huge thing. But they want to do whatever they could do to try to make sure that they got him there, and that shows the value of Liam. And I knew Liam on a different level. He lived with Sean McVay for a while. And Sean lived by me. And Sean's one of the first coaches I really helped with mental health. Dan Quinn is too. And so I spent a lot of time with
Sean. What did you
do
for Dan with mental health? I'm not familiar.
Oh, man. First of all, when Dan got fired from the Falcons, I've known Dan since he was with the 49ers in like 99 or something. And he's such a good dude. And knew he was struggling because the first time he didn't have a team, I set up a Zoom with 50 people, combat vets, athletes, ex-players, all this, to be there for him, pick him up in what was his darkest time.
Wow.
But he also brought me in this year to talk to the entire Washington team about mental health. And, you know, my message to these guys is, look, again, I started training these guys in mixed martial arts, and my whole thing of our unbreakable mindset was, if you are hurt or tired, you will never, ever, ever know. And we got this from my partner in this, Randy Couture, where, like, our fighters can't take a stool in between rounds, right? Because we're not going to show it. We're not going to show it. We're not going to show it. And you need that in football and fighting. But outside that cage, outside those lines, that same mindset all us dudes are brought up with gets people like me to freaking crawl up in the corner of my room and cry in the fetal position for no reason. just because I have depression, anxiety, and bipolar, and ADHD, and I fought this by myself for a long time, and I say, look, I know we're not ingrained to talk to each other about it, but you guys take mental health so reactively, where you got 15 strength coaches and trainers here for the physical part, you only got you only have to have a therapist in the building 3 days a week, according to CBA. That's it. Where everything starts in these 6 inches between your ears, good and bad. So I said, it makes no sense. You guys probably don't think, well, there's enough therapists. There are. You got 53 sitting in this room right next to you. And think how much closer this will make you if you can lean into each other. Think of that brotherhood. That's a fight team. And again, me opening up about mental health, it's turned friends into brothers. Like I would never, and like my best friend's Michael Strahan. This dude drove me back in New York City every single day for 7 years because I had enough money back then. I was making $9,000 a year to go to New York City, Giant Stadium, back every day. I never said a word to him. When I had my meltdowns, I would pop Vicodin, take Adderall, drink. I'd rather get arrested or get in trouble for having an outburst than have anybody know I had depression and anxiety. Think how backwards that is, right? Yeah. So first time I ever said anything was 4 years ago. And first time ever, 30 years. I said, bro, I can't go out tonight, man. The beast got out of the box. And he's like, you want to talk about it? I was like, whoa. I said, I do, but not now. Because it kicked my ass. Like I was, when my depression and anxiety get bad, I feel it in my joints, left side of my gut, behind my rib cage. It's hard. I said, I just want to sleep this one off. And he says, you want me to come over and be there with you? And I was like, again, I didn't expect this. I said, no. And he says, why have you never told me? I said, I don't make the rules up of this thing, this shame, man, but I was ashamed with you. And he said to me, probably the most powerful thing anybody's ever said. He said, you think you're being a bother. You're not. You took away my chance to be your best friend for 30 years by not saying anything to me. Think how powerful that is. So that's why I go and tell these teams. And then I also, like, I describe it. Like, I tell these coaches, and I'm here to talk about ADHD today. Look, I was diagnosed with ADHD in 1989. And when you have ADHD, and I'm sitting in something, and I was told I had a learning disability. I don't have a learning disability. I just don't learn the way you teach. I can't sit in a three-hour lecture. No matter what you do, no matter how hard you punish me, I am not capable. And it's like you're drowning. And my only way for breath of fresh air is to fidget, is to have an outburst, is to talk, is to whatever, right? And you think I want to get grounded every week? No. And I told Washington coaches, your players, you think they want to get fined for not being able to sit in this? No. But you got to figure out a way to coach these guys and be more understanding of this. And we're talking about it now. So not every square pegs don't fit in round holes. So I'm proud to be able to carry this torch and talk about it. But think how cool this is that I'm in a room with 100 of the baddest cats on the planet. And I'm sitting there crying up there. We're talking about it. And I've had a lot of players text me since on that team, lean into each other. It's beautiful. Like I said, these friendships have turned into brotherhoods because I've been able to talk about it. And then by me opening up about it, I finally found something that works for my ADHD, this drug called Qelbree, which in the past I was put on stimulants. And with my level of depression, anxiety, and the bipolar, those stimulants for me made me really violent and bad and dark. And I pushed away a lot of good people in my life, unfortunately. And I have a lot of regrets on that. And to have this and that. But I'm like, I will, because I talk about it so much, something else comes out, great, I'll try it, I'll do it. I can pull myself out of this, no problem. And Qelbree is the first thing, I actually take it at night. And it calms me, and it focuses me, and it gives me relief from something I really never have relief from.
Well, it's powerful. Jay, thank you for the insight.
Thank you. Appreciate it, brother.
Yeah, absolutely.
Absolutely.
DC, as you know, with Dan Quinn, has got a good thing going right now. Appreciate all of the info and information on his background with DQ as well.